If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's P-A-I-R.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome back to Mind Pump. This is the fitness show that doesn't even care. At all. We just don't care.
We don't care?
Yeah. No, we don't give a shit.
I feel like we care a little bit.
I care about you.
About people.
Yeah, no, we care about people.
Not anything else.
We don't care about pissing off
people.
Zero
fucks.
We like people. We just don't care if we piss them off.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
I agree. I think we're due for that.
So we were... oh, by the way, I'm here with Adam Schaefer and Justin Andrews. And you're... Arsenio Hall, apparently.
And you're the extension of Adam's intro.
And you're listening to Salami Stabone in the background. Okay, so... we were looking at questions here to do a Q&A because you know how we like to do Q&As. And there was a question that came up that I thought would make a great episode. The first part of this question is actually geared towards you, Adam. It's a question for you.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sure it's going to be... Here, okay, never mind. Let's hear it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how handsome would you consider yourself?
Should I give you some shit? Let's hear
it. He's all 10, 11.
Well, if I had to break this down mathematically...
15...
So the question, this is from Yogi2Extreme, one of our loyal Mind Pump listeners, Pumphead.
All right.
The question is, Adam, why did you give up your cannabis club?
Oh.
Yeah. So we should tell let the listeners know what business you were in. Beforehand.
Is this a girl or guy? Who's this?
Yogi2Extreme. I don't know.
It's not that it matters that much.
I'm like, what's the difference?
Well, I was going to address he or she. So if, you know, whoever this is, obviously has been listening to our episodes in the beginning because
it's a girl.
I did mention. So she obviously listened to whatever episode this was that we talked about this because I did mention it briefly.
That's probably the episode we called This Episode is Dope.
No. I don't think we talked about it in the marijuana episode. You know what episode we talked about it? We talked about it when we talked about what we did before career wise.
Oh,
we've done. Discussed it. So
yes.
I they weren't mine. I didn't own them. I ran them. And I had a client of mine who was that I used to personal train, and he gave me this opportunity to run this. Which ironically, before I had gotten involved in this, I really wasn't into marijuana at all. In fact, I was kind of the opposite. I was kind of the poster boy of like anti-marijuana. I was like, you know, everybody I knew that smoked weed was kind of a loser and they didn't get shit done. And like,
yeah, look at all those losers. Yeah. Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
This was before Michael Phelps.
But
came
a couple
out,
of
but
losers.
Yeah. They came out. But so I kind of had this that attitude of, you know, I was not a big fan. Now, of course, this was my own personal experience because I didn't experience it until I was in my 20s. And the first couple times I did, I had a really bad experience.
You got paranoid?
Yeah. Well, you know, didn't tell me that like you can like smoke too much. You know, I remember asking like my dumb friends when I was younger, being like, hey, so what, you know, can I do overdose? Like, no, you can't overdose on marijuana. You can have as much as you want. So I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do. And then I had buddies telling me like, well, you might not get high the first time, so you might not feel it. So I'm like, well, okay, well, I want to make sure I feel it. So I'm going to smoke a lot, right? And if I can't overdose, then what am I worried about? So, you know, my dumb ass is sitting around a table with a bunch of buddies that have been smoking their whole life. And here I am out smoking all of them the very first time. And yeah, of course, I fucking was hearing things and paranoid as shit.
Like, is my heart beating?
Yeah, I know.
Is my heart beating?
Like, yeah, literally. Literally my heart felt like it was going to beat out of my chest. So I'm like, okay, this drug is not for me. I'm not doing this ever again. So yeah, I became this anti guy because of that. Well, fast forward about 8 years later, I'm in my late 20s. And I got a client who I'm training, and he tells me what he's trying to do. Now, we're in the Bay Area, and...
Yeah, I was just going to say, we should preface that.
Yeah, no.
This is all perfectly legal, state legal.
Yeah, no, I'll get there with the story. So I promise I won't leave any of these important details out. You can ask me if I do. You know, so we're in the Bay Area. At this time, Los Angeles is cracking with cannabis already. They've already got 300-400 clubs down there, and it's making its way up to the Bay Area. And now what I am pro is I love to be on the front end of business. I am an entrepreneur by heart. I am always up and up on, I shouldn't say always, I like to be up and up on what's new and, you know, hot and what's coming up. And that's what appealed to me. So when he talked to me about running these clubs, and the reason why he asked me to run these clubs, he had seen me run the gyms that I was at. He'd been a part of that, seen that for a couple of years, and he was impressed with my ability to run staff and manage and blah, blah, blah. And so he gave me the opportunity to run his facilities. Now, at the time when he offered this to me, you know, they had the idea that they were going to get like 10 or 12 of these things and be the first 10 or 12. And he knew people that were tied in politically into the city that they were going to put, what is the name of the term I'm looking for? Not an ordinance, but a, got it. For a lack of better words, it basically is what it is where a moratorium? Moratorium?
Maybe.
Moratorium?
Mammogram?
No, not a mammogram, dude. Whatever. I can't. So basically what it is that, okay, the city says it's the limit of how many cannabis cars.
Right.
And he had inside info that it was going to be 12, and it was only going to be 12, and then we were going to try and monopolize. We were going to try and get a hold of like literally 12 of them, and, you know, I was going to run a few of them. And long story short, we ended up getting two of them. And, you know, it's two of the first ones to ever hit San Jose. So it was quite the experience being one of the first, because this is still the gray area, too. So, yes, it's legal. Yes, cannabis clubs. But anybody that knows much about this industry and knows when I first got into it, when it was very, very new, it was like, okay, there, it wasn't illegal to do it, but then nobody wanted to lease you any space. Nobody wanted to.
You're still a liability.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wanted to okay it. It was just it was a real pain in the ass.
Well, it's still.
A lot of cops didn't know if it was illegal or not illegal. Well, it was crazy.
It was still is today federally illegal. Hmm. So even though the state legalized it.
The feds let up on that.
Well, the feds aren't going to spend money
came out and said they will no longer prosecute.
But when you were in it,
they were
raiding.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They were raiding. So here you are. You're following the law. I mean, there's people in some medical marijuana states who not only are following the law to a T, they'll have cameras up everywhere, recording everything. They will have sheriffs come down, look at everything on a regular basis. They'll have the cameras available for, you know, the state legislators look and see what we're doing. And yet the feds will go in there and take these people and throw them in jail for life for doing everything perfectly state legal.
So
it's still scary.
Okay, if you talk about some of the scariest times of my life, this is definitely rates in the top three for sure of what this experience was like for me. Just like you said, and we could definitely turn this into four or five episodes if I were to start sharing different stories and situations that happened to me during this whole 2 year stint that I was doing this. And just when I went down to City Hall to get my business license for it, there wasn't a thing back then for medical marijuana or cannabis clubs. I mean, it was so fresh and new that they didn't even have that. So we'd have to go under something like, I think we were like herbal supplementation something, you know. Mm-hmm. And then our landlord, we had to sign some things saying that we were something completely different than what we really were, just so we could like fly under the radar and operate. And, you know, it was very sketchy. And then, like you said, there'd be times I remember seeing, like, I'll never forget one time across the street was like a SWAT team parked.
Oh,
and they were like getting ready to like raid somebody's house or do something totally different than what we were. But we thought they were prepping to come into us. And it was like frantically getting everybody out of there, grabbing as much product and cash as you possibly could, like loading it up.
No wonder potheads are always paranoid.
Oh, loading it in our vehicles, taking off with it. And then we take it and then it's like at my house. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing right now? Like, I just like took one scenario and just totally escalated. Like, I'm like thinking to myself, they're going to take my house away, they're gonna do all this stuff. So I would, you know, all the time it was sketchy. Now that's not why I stopped, because, you know, it got easier and better as time went on. Then once at one point I stayed with it all the way till there was 100-something clubs still in there, and then it became a little bit more norm. Although when I say a little bit more norm, it was, you know, I wasn't completely freaking out every single day. It was a little less stressful. Maybe it was only stressful once every 2 weeks instead of like every fucking day. But this is the type of stuff that we would have to go through. And what I got really tired of is a couple things. One, And I'm sure if you're a cannabis owner and you're listening to this, please don't take offense to this because there's exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, a majority of these guys are idiots. And, you know, I came in because I thought we were going to be a part of this movement and we were going to change things and we're going to do it a certain way. Now, unfortunately, a majority of these cannabis owners are in the backdoor hustle, are doing things completely shady. And if you're somebody who wants to operate this business legitimately and try and make a legitimate income off of it, it became really difficult really fast. So the first year was great. It was phenomenal because it was still fresh. It was new. It was one of the first clubs. And then after time, what started happening was it turned into like price wars and backdoor shit going on and stuff. And if you wanted to try and keep up with it, you would have to start to do things like that. And we just refused to take those chances because we already felt sketched.
Well, what's funny is the laws actually promoted some of this backdoor shit because a lot of people don't know this, but the federal government made it illegal for any banks to do business with cannabis clubs.
Yes.
And so now you're a cannabis club, you're trying to do everything legit, you're trying to do everything state law, and no bank will take your money. So now you're operating cash. You're up all cash.
Yes.
No one will take your money. Where are you going to put it? And the reason why they did this is so they could come after you with the IRS.
And so
it's like everything they did made it worse rather than making it more legitimate, you know, legitimized.
And that was the game. The game was always like, yeah, this is illegal, but this is illegal. This is legal, but that's illegal.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you would get two steps forward, just have to take three steps back in every part of the business. So it was this constant headache. You know, we are constantly pumping money into PR and GR, you know, all the time trying to, you know, I'll tell you this, and God, I don't know how much I should talk about this.
Yeah, be careful. You're getting deep, buddy.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm starting to ramble, and I'm like, God, I better be careful how I say this. But let's put it this way. It opened up my eyes a lot about the political game when it comes to business and how things are really run in a city. And I can't imagine how it is on a much larger scale. So, you know, a lot of shadiness. And a lot of shady characters and a lot of, you know, honestly, like a lot of people I didn't like doing business with and dealing with. I'm a fitness guy by heart. I love that. That's my passion. I absolutely fell in love with cannabis and its benefits and the things that came from it. But as far as a business, to be honest with you, like if you're somebody who's thinking about doing it, it's not what it's cracked up to be. And yeah, someone might sell you that dream it is, but don't get it twisted. You know, because here's the thing, if you do your homework on what it costs now to get the permits, what it costs taxation. So you have city tax, you have regular tax, you have your sales tax. So you're getting nailed by like 40-something%. And then on top of that, you have price wars with clubs that are around you that are doing illegal backdoor shit. So right. If someone drops, let's say, a price of an eighth, which is something that should go for, you know, $50 to $70 based off the quality of it, right? Well, take half of that right off the bat is going straight to taxation. And then
I find extreme. I mean, can you be any more hypocritical than to say, this is illegal, we're going to bust you. Oh, give us taxes on it, though. We want the money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is some gangster shit.
It is. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that's where I got to be careful about what I say. But let's just say the biggest gangsters are not the people running the clubs.
Yeah.
They look like they're the biggest gangsters, yeah, but they're not the biggest gangsters.
Well, I mean, the cannabis industry now, it's becoming more and more legit. The feds are kind of backing off a little bit. There's an act right now in Congress that they haven't voted on yet, but if they do, it will legalize. It will reschedule marijuana to Schedule 2, which means it can be legalized medicinally. So if that passes, then states could legalize it medicinally like they are now, with zero fear of any federal agencies coming in and fucking with them. Because at the moment, we're cool, but if a different president comes in or politics change, mm-hmm, everybody's screwed. Because a lot of people don't realize, if you look at all substances that are regulated by the government, there's a scheduling system. Schedule 1 is most illegal. It means no medicinal value, no value whatsoever. It's very difficult for scientists to study. Basically, they want this off the face of the earth. There's zero uses for it. Schedule 2 is more of your medicinal stuff. There's some medical value. And then it goes down the scheduling and so forth. So Schedule 3 is even less illegal and so on. Schedule 1, marijuana is in Schedule 1. It's actually more illegal on a federal level than crystal meth.
Yeah.
So they're saying marijuana is more dangerous and more addictive than crystal meth. So we need to make it, you know, priority number one. And so this is what they're aiming to change to reschedule it. And not even to go off on a rant, But if you look at the science right now on the medicinal benefits of cannabinoids that are found in marijuana, they're incredible. As a matter of fact, GW Pharmaceutical, which is a company that makes pharmaceutical drugs from the cannabis plant, they just got their stage three trial, I believe, came out with an epilepsy drug, based with a cannabidiol, which is a cannabinoid found in marijuana. Incredibly successful in treating children with untreatable forms of epilepsy. And it's very difficult for these pharmaceutical companies or for scientists to even study these things in the States. So a lot of these studies are going on overseas because we have this draconian laws here in the States where they won't let you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You from what, England?
Yeah, it's an English pharmaceutical company. Yeah. And I mean, I'm in the belief that, look, I think we should get rid of all victimless crimes. I think if there's no victim, there should be no crime. So if you're doing nothing but hurting yourself, why are we going to throw your ass in jail and ruin everything? You know, we're going to help you, Mr. You know, drug user, by throwing your ass in jail, making it impossible for you to get a job. So now you have to become a drug dealer when you get out. Does that make any sense?
It makes you really whatsoever. Want to change.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And, you know, there used to be this big debate. There has been this big debate as to whether or not it's better if the drug war has been a success or a failure. I don't even know why there's a debate. The drug war has been an absolute failure. We spent over $1 trillion since the launch of the drug war. We have one of the highest, if not the highest, incarceration rates in the free world. We have more people in jail than certain communist countries, all because of nonviolent drug offenses.
Such a crock of shit, bro.
It's insane. And then on top of that, we now have real world example of what happens when you change your policy. The country of Portugal, who at the time, I believe it's like 12 years ago, they had one of the highest addiction rates and drug use rates in Europe. They tackled the drug war completely differently. They actually decriminalized all drugs. I'm not just talking about marijuana, like cocaine, meth, everything. Decriminalized. And if you get caught with it, you get a ticket. And if you can choose to go to therapy or, you know, take some of their courses or whatever. 12 years later, drug use is down. Addiction rates are down. Disease rates are lower. It's been an unequivocal success. As a matter of fact, all the people who were against it in Portugal now are saying, man, I made a huge mistake. This has been one of the best things that we've ever done. And in our own country, I mean, you guys have learned about prohibition, alcohol prohibition.
Right? Well, yeah, you can compare that to like countries that where the alcohol age limit is lower and stuff too. Like you meet somebody from across seas where, you know, alcohol level is way lower and, you know, they don't, by the time they're 21, they don't even care about drinking because they can, because you've been able to your whole life. It's not a big deal, you know?
So when it comes to, you know, marijuana, I'm the person that, look, I think it should be slightly regulated, you know, have an age limit. I think it should definitely be legalized for medical use or at least study. Jeez, let scientists study it. This is crazy. Why can't they even study it? It's insane.
Well, here's some more information for you too, if you're somebody who was asking this question because you possibly would think about getting involved in one yourself. Because I have had a couple people inbox me when they found out that I did. And when it does get like when it will be good to get into, or when it will be like normal or, you know, regulated correctly or like a normal business, it'll be too late. The government will already have put their hands on it. They have enough patents right now. Yeah. They're already growing huge amounts in places we don't even know that are getting set up, that when it's ready to really rock and roll and like it becomes fair game for anyone and everyone that wants to make business out of it, It's gonna get monopolized right out the gate by guess who?
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is funny? You're talking about how who's running the industry now. If you look at the names of the marijuana strains, it's pretty obvious stoners, right? You know, or the ones that kind of started everything. Incidentally, I've been telling, and I know people in the industry, and I've been telling them, like, well, stop naming strains of marijuana after freaking cereals and, you know, bubblegum kush. And, you know, if you want it to be legitimized, like, name it things that sound a little bit more professional. That's always been my opinion, because otherwise it sounds kind of stonerish. And then the other thing is the edibles. Like, they're making, like, chocolate crispy cereal and, you know, cookies and cotton candy. And it's like, if you want it to be treated like, you know, medicine and really be legitimate with it, you know, you can't make, you know, like these type of treats and stuff, as fun as they may be for some people. So nonetheless, there's actually a second part to this question, though, Adam. Before I do that, I want people to, if listeners, look this up yourself. Patent number 6630507. This is the U.S. government patent on marijuana. So while they say marijuana is no use medicinally, is very bad for you, they hold a patent on it for the for medicinal use themselves. Pretty interesting.
Yeah,
pretty interesting. So the second question that Yogi Too Extreme has is, she wants to know how often we utilize it, and does it affect our athletic performance? So like in the gym, which I think is a good question. You know, does it affect athletic performance, and how often should someone use it? So I think I'll jump into that. In terms of how often someone should use it, it can be abused, but so can, you know, candy bars. So I think how often you need to use it, it depends on the individual. Now, I do...
Probably about as much as you should candy bars.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I use it, personally, I use it for medicinal reasons. That's not to say that I don't enjoy it every once in a while. I don't enjoy the side effects of it, which they'll call the high. But I do use it medicinally. I do use strains that are high in cannabidiol and low in THC. So they're very, many times they're not even psychoactive, but they do help me with irritable bowel syndrome, which is something that I have and I can get. And it does help quite a bit. In terms of athletic performance, this is interesting now. There's been a couple articles that have been out with endurance athletes, long, long distance runners and cyclists, who say it enhances their performance in long distance sports, which I find kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, the science will say that it reduces reaction time, reduces explosive power. I can attest to that. You know, I've lifted weights under the influence. I don't necessarily get great workouts, but I can see doing monotonous cardio on it, you know, like these long distance runners. I could see there being some kind of benefit. That being said, there are pharmaceutical companies right now who are studying the insulin effects of cannabinoids. In other words, increasing insulin sensitivity, and which should help with fat loss, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And they've come out with a couple big surveys and studies on big populations. And of course, they're not controlled. These are just surveys. But they do find that cannabis users are leaner on average than non-cannabis users. And they think it has to do with some of those insulin blunting effects of the cannabinoids. And so I think we'll see some diabetes drugs even come out that are made off of cannabinoids. So on a fat loss perspective, potentially there could be some fat loss effects. Now, I'm not saying you should use weed as a fat burner, but I find that kind of stuff fascinating.
Oh, I think it's fascinating. Personally, myself, I actually can't smoke that much just because... And I'll tell you, the reason why I do personally is I like to, it puts me out at night. So that's my thing right before I go to bed. You know, typically when I come home, and I get home late most of the time, it's, you know, somewhere between 8 to 10 o'clock at night when I'm finally settling down. And typically I'm doing something like I'm doing right now, or working. You know, it'll be a night where I don't get home till probably 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I'm still wound up from talking and laughing with you guys. And I just have this mind. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, it does not stop. I constantly cannot stop thinking of ideas and business shit. I have this crazy journal next to my bed that I always write, you know, all this stuff in. And, you know, it gives me a lot of sleepless nights. And the only thing that's ever worked for me is actually smoking before I go to bed. And it totally settles me down and kind of shuts that part of my brain off for me. I can relax, and, you know, I typically like to, that's when I like to sit down and maybe watch a little TV or read a book or something right before I go to bed, and then I get the just most amazing sleep. Now, in the middle of the day, I don't do so well in the middle of the day because I can't articulate very well. I start smoking, and it slows me down a bit. And I'm a fast talker. Mm-hmm. And I'm an even faster thinker. And then when I smoke, it slows it all down. And then my mouth wants to keep moving as fast, but my brain's not working as quick. And it's really obvious. So if I was high, you would know right away, because I don't sound very intelligent, I don't think. And that bothers me. And I'm around a lot of people, and I don't like feeling that way. I don't want to smell like marijuana. I don't want to look like marijuana. Like, I've been smoking it. So for me, it's something that I utilize at nighttime. I've done it before, going to the gym just to test it and see what it would be like, because I have buddies that swear by it and they love it. And yeah, it's not for me. Like, I working out for me, I'm so mentally focused already, and I like to get into my music and get into my lifting. And I feel like if I'm high, I'm too relaxed and I can't get into a tense workout. I will say, though, I have done some steady state cardio sessions. then I actually have enjoyed that, where I'm not pushing really intense. I'm just kind of cruising on the bike or on the elliptical for 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, that's where we're seeing some of these articles from these endurance athletes. It's that kind of activity that they're noticing.
Yeah, and I do actually. And for me, what I notice is the time flies. I'm so caught up in my own thoughts, and I'm kind of cruising along. I'm just kind of listening to music, and because I'm high from smoking, I do not notice that, like, oh shit, look, it's already been 30 minutes I've been on this thing, and you know, it makes cardio a lot more fun. So I have done that, although I don't do it all the time, just because, like I said, it's not always convenient for me. It's in the middle. Sometimes I'm doing cardio middle of the day, first thing in the morning, and I can't wake and bake or smoke in the day. The question is related to being a functional stoner. I am not that whatsoever. I am somebody who, like Sal, I would say I use it more for medicinal reasons, because it's just not. It's not my thing to do it all throughout the day, you know, mm-hmm. which I know people that have. I know people that, like, they swear by it, and they swear they're productive, and they function way better on it.
Well, being in Silicon Valley, you know, California has always been known for, you know, marijuana. I know executives. I know some top level people that they use it all the time, and they're complete opposite of that stoner. Yeah. You know, stereotype, yeah, right. The loser that sits on the couch and doesn't do anything.
So. I know people too. They seem more productive when they're on it. You would never guess, you know.
So, and like I said, teach their own. You know, you're going to do what you're going to do. So, Justin, do you have any experiences with the sticky icky? He's been quiet over there.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
I don't really have a whole lot to add to this conversation. I mean, every now and then, you know, I might, for party reasons or something, you know, I've smoked in. Just to chill and
so you're not pro, you're not anti.
I really don't have any. Yeah, I don't have any swing opinion on it one way or the other. Other than I look at alcohol pretty much the same.
Okay.
So it's. I think it's ridiculous as far as you know what the government wants as far as like how they're scheduling it, especially if it has medicinal properties to it, where alcohol. Yeah, where's the medicinal qualities for that?
Yeah,
right.
You know, like I don't know. It's a big. I don't know. I'm really not that political about it, to be honest. It's something that if it's there, you know, I'll think about it. Sometimes, you know, I may partake. Sometimes, most of the time, I won't. Mm-hmm. Just because it doesn't really. I don't know. It's not really something that resonates with me.
What kind of mood do you have to be in? So obviously, you out of the three of us, you utilize edibles or smoking or whatever.
Yeah,
like that on
edibles
it.
Probably more.
Okay,
just because it's I don't know.
It's a healthier version. For
yeah,
sure.
Well, smoking it's just, isn't. You it's can, just you, nice because I would have to plan my whole day where I'm like doing absolutely nothing and I just want to be silly.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I'm asking.
That's the only time
you're
I would
in
do
a goofy
it.
Mood. You want to watch a funny movie. You and your wife.
Yeah,
hang out,
I just have too many responsibilities. I don't know. I just don't. For what it does to me, like I don't feel productive with it, and therefore, you know, I think certain people react differently or have different strains or you know CBD or whatever it is. But I just haven't. I haven't really been interested in pursuing that. So
well, you can overdo edibles. Easy.
Oh yeah.
You got to be very careful that
you can, and I did.
Well, yeah. Well, for the listeners, when you smoke it, you're inhaling the THC is really the main psychoactive cannabinoid, but it's delta 7 THC. When you eat it, your liver converts it to delta 9.
Okay, I was going to say delta 9 is what I thought.
Yeah, and delta 9 is, if I'm not mistaken, I should look that up, but it's a longer-acting, more potent version. So when you smoke it, you're high for maybe an hour or two. When you eat it, you're high for 4 to 6 hours.
Well, that's part of it. That is because, too, when you take it in through your lungs, you can only take in about 20% of it, and then when you actually ingest it, you're getting every bit of it. So if something is rated at, let's say, like your average medicinal strain marijuana is between 15 and 21%, you know, give or take. And, you know, when you smoke that, your body is only getting about 25% of that when you inhale it through your lungs. When you actually ingest it, you're getting all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is a big difference. And then, like you said, it tends to intensify. I am definitely not an edible guy. I rarely ever eat edibles just for that reason. I feel like because I use it medicinally and I know how many puffs it takes for me to just settle me down, put me to sleep, and I don't want more than that, and I don't want less than that. And I feel like with edibles, you know, that's the problem with cannabis clubs right now is there isn't like, you know, one place will say this is a four-doser, and the four doser, I barely feel anything from it. And then another place I'll have a two doser and it puts me down for 12 hours.
It's not consistent at all.
Yeah, it's not consistent, you know, how they made it, how they measured it. Like, it's, you know, a lot of them are mom and pa's. Mm-hmm. It's not like GW who's pharmaceutically measuring it out. And that's what's great about a company like that that's doing that is they're, you know, they're trying to make it to where it, that's how it should be. You should be able to say, I know that when I ingest 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams of this, that it feels the same way every single time because it's consistent.
Well, I want to correct, by the way, Delta 9s, when you smoke it, it turns into 11 hydroxy THC, which is what happens when it goes to the liver. So it does change a little bit, but it's still tetrahydrocannabinol, I think it's called. Edibles are, I'm real sensitive to them. So I don't really do them very often. The side effects, we should go over the side effects of just to be responsible on the show. You will get most people do experience some short-term memory loss. However, they're finding CBD counteracts that. So people who use strains that are higher in CBD counteract some of that short-term memory loss that you might get from, THC. So there's definitely some side effects. It's like anything, now, you know, guys.
Short-term memory loss while you're high or in general.
If you're reading something while you're under the influence, you're not gonna. It's gonna be harder to remember when you're not under the influence.
Okay, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So if you're high all day, then you're gonna have a bad memory in terms of what happened yesterday. The day that you were all high, right? So,
but that's just okay. That's not okay. So I haven't smoked since 3 days ago because I've been sick and so I'm not, my short term memory is not affected today from 3 days ago. So
It shouldn't be. But there's more science that's going into it. Nonetheless, the side effects are pretty small in comparison to other things that people do. But just to be clear, it's just like anything else. You can overdo it and overuse it. And if you want to be a loser and smoke pot all day long, then you're a loser. It's not the pot, you're just a loser.
Well, the advice I gave, you know, talk about being, this was a tough thing that I had to go through. I'm the oldest of five, and I got all these younger siblings, so this was a really tough situation for me is to answer these type of questions to, you know, your younger brother and sister who are 17, 18, 19, 20, you're in their 20s now. You know, coming up and how do I explain this to them? Because, you know, they're hearing it from the kids that are just getting high to get high. And, then, you know, they have the older brother who has a cannabis club and, that's so cool. You know, and it's like, man, that was a hard one for me to explain. I remember having a couple long talks with my brother because he was the first one to express any sort of interest in it when he was around 19. You know, and I was like, man, bro, you know, one of the things I know I'm Mr. Pro for it and I'm all about the whole cannabis club and you hear me talk about all this stuff and I'm obviously in the business, but you know, here's the thing, you know, you take care of your priorities first and you do that and make sure you handle that. And if this is something that you choose to do or, you know, make sure you take that in consideration and you pay attention to how it affects you because it affects everybody differently. And just like Sal was saying, like anything else, it can take control of you just like a damn Snickers bar can. You know what I'm saying? It starts with one Snickers bar, and it's not because it's an addictive thing. You know, it's not like there's any
problem. Well, you like it. Anything you like can be addictive.
Exactly.
Addicted to sex. Addicted to gambling. Addicted to, you know.
Exactly. It's not like there's something in the marijuana that has addictive properties. It's not like there's something in the Snickers bar that has the addictive properties. It's the simple fact that these are things you enjoy, like you said, and, you know, one Snickers bar leads to two, then three. If the next thing you know, you're having five Snickers bars a day, every day.
We need to ban those.
You're going to be a fat ass.
Let's make Snickers. You know what I'm saying?
You said Reese's, I'd be like all on your team this one.
I'm a Reese's guy too. I'm not a Snickers guy. I don't know why Reese's. I use Snickers. I don't know. I think I must have seen it.
Because you don't want to demonize Reese's.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. You're probably right.
Reese's is perfectly
safe. Weren't you the one that told me about that 1 pound Reese's cup?
Told you. I bought it.
Oh, hell.
I bought it, ate it, made myself sick, dude. It was around Christmas time. I did a post on Instagram. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. It was one.
It was like a bucket. It was like a mini bucket of peanut butter.
It was a 1 pound. It was a 1 pound Reese's peanut butter.
How many bites did you even get through?
I had to. It was two of them, and they were literally the size. I remember I put them up next to my watch, my Bentley. And it was three times the size. It was like the size. Each one was like the size of these microphone things. And I had to break it up in a couple sittings, but it still made me pretty sick. It was honestly having them. Is it Hershey's that makes Reese's? Hershey's, right?
I don't know.
Who makes Hershey's?
Are they the same? I don't know if it's the same company.
I think Hershey's does make Reese's.
Yeah, probably.
I think so. I don't know. Whoever makes them, they have broken the science down to the perfect ratio of chocolate to peanut butter and the size, everything. Because at that size, it's not perfect.
There's too much.
It's because, overkill.
Because there's less surface area. You get less chocolate. Just, mostly peanut butter.
Just overkill, dude. It was like, this is a lot, dude. Like, you
just smacking it all around.
If you're somebody who gets down on that, bro, like, that's when you know you need to, like, pull back and, like, reflect a little bit. Like,
you need a whole gallon of milk to get that shit down.
Oh, yeah, it did. It made me... you know what I ended up doing? I remember I ended up freezing it and then, like, breaking it all up in, like, little slivers, and then I'd throw it in my protein shakes. So I was like, I could... The first one, like, made me sick eating. I'm like, but then it was, like, in my freezer, and just like anything else that's in my house, it's like, it's going to get eaten, you know?
So. I find it ironic that we start with... we're talking about cannabis, and we end up talking about
yeah, like, we're
candy. Dude, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, so if you smoke and you go through all that, like, she's talking about performance, like, how can you stick with your deficit and being on a meal plan, so, and that's smoking?
Very, very good point. So that, you know, and that is a good point that Justin's bringing up right now, because
I couldn't do that.
Part of another reason why I don't smoke in the middle of the day, because I get crazy cravings. I start to now flip that, though. I have utilized it for bulking reasons. Well, I had a very hard time putting weight on. And I couldn't eat. I didn't want to eat anymore. I'd get full really fast and easy. And something I started to do was, after my last meal, I would wait. I wouldn't smoke all day. I'd eat my last meal, and then I would smoke, and then I'd be hungry again. And then I would go eat. I'd eat another meal. I'd go pound another meal, or make myself a big, heavy weight gainer shake. And I'd be able to get it down, and that would help me put weight on. So I'd use it for that. But if you're in the lean, if you're trying to cut, if you're trying to lean down.
Yeah, bulking's never been an issue for me.
Yes, exactly. So I have for performance.
Yeah, I can bulk.
Yeah, I have used it for that. So, but as far as for leaning down properties, that's why I save it when I'm in the bed. I literally am in the bed. I have my stuff right on the side of my bed, and it's like, take my two or three puffs, and then I'm out. I don't want to be down the refrigerator by the refrigerator at all around that time.
Eat Reese's.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.